Several years ago, my wife and I started a practice just as a couple of having a daily devotion. And we have thought about how to do this for quite a few years. And we did well with praying together at periods of times and then not so well. But at the suggestion of a friend, what we started doing was she prays, and then I read the daily section from through the Bible in a year Bible. And we do a different translation every year. One year we do the ESV, another year we do the New King James, another year this year we're doing the Living Bible. We've done the NIV. And any Bible that we can find that has one of those, I get it. And usually get a paperback, and we do one of those. And we have just found that reading the Bible together and praying about the needs of our family and the needs of Northeastern Baptist College and the needs of Mid-America Baptist Seminary, where I was for a lot of years, just mentioning them before the Lord together as a couple, and then reading the Word together. You know what we've discovered as we've just read through the Bible? We've discovered that a lot of things that you thought was in there isn't. And a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't realize was in there is. Yeah, reading the Bible is an amazing thing. Well, anyway, when we travel, our daily Bible reading is done via listening to it. We check out of the hotel. We go to McDonald's, and that's not an advertisement for McDonald's. I'm just telling you what we do. We get something there. And then we start out on the road, and I turn the Bible on, and we listen to 5 or 6 chapters. And then we flip over and we listen to a novel. That's what we do while we travel. That keeps me awake and puts her to sleep. So anyway, that's the way it works. But this summer, as we were in the process of moving up here and seeing family, moving up here from Memphis, Tennessee, we had several days where we were doing that pattern. And one of those days, we happened to be listening to Matthew. And I heard something that I had never noticed before. And it spoke to me about where I was at that particular time. And then Dr. Williams' message last Thursday reminded me of this passage, and I said, I need to go back and investigate that. And so this is a sort of a message that's starting to be formed. But I hope you'll see the point. And I believe it applies to each of us individually, and I believe it applies to our whole school. So I want to begin reading at verse number 32 and just give you some thoughts and some highlights from this passage. Matthew 15:32 says, and Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Now, there are a couple of things that I've thought of about this verse that I think are really cool and that I want to remember for my life. 4, in fact. Number 1, Jesus wants to spend time with you even though you are needy. Sometimes we think, if I've got needs, Jesus doesn't want to be bothered with me. If I see a needy person a lot, I tend to kind of wish they would go away. And we tend to think that Jesus is like us. But here, Jesus had been hanging out with these people for 3 days. So Jesus wants to spend time with you. And in case you're wondering if that really is a Bible principle, think of John chapter 15, where Jesus said, verse number 4, abide with me. What does abide mean? Remain. Stay with me. Hang out with me. Have fellowship with me. I want to spend time with you. God is interested in spending time with you. That's good news, folks. Second thing this verse reminds me of, Jesus cares about your feelings and needs. Do you see what he said? He said, I have compassion for these people. Why? They've been hanging out here for 3 days and they haven't had anything to eat. And if we send them away with nothing, if we send them away hungry, then some of them will faint before they get home. We can't do that. So we've got to do something about that. Jesus cares about your feelings and needs. I'm glad we have a Heavenly Father like we do. And number 3, Jesus will respond to your needs. Now, what had they been doing for 3 days while they were with Jesus? Well, they hadn't just been listening to him teach, though I'm sure he did a lot of that. But look at verse 30. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowds marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of heaven. And so Jesus says, they've been with me. But our point is, Jesus will respond to your real needs. What was their real needs? Well, the lame folks needed to walk. And the blind folks needed to see. And the hungry folks needed to be fed. Jesus will respond to your real needs. Boy, that's encouraging to me. And the fourth thing I see in this verse and in this passage is Jesus' response will be greater than your need and better than you expected. You said something about that in faculty and staff prayer meeting yesterday. In your prayer. Listen, look at verse 33. The disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish, but hey, look around, Jesus. 7 sardines and 7 soda crackers and some sardines. They ain't gonna get it. Hey, by the way, here's another principle. Give what you have to Jesus and just watch what he does with it. You say, I'm not very talented. Well, probably not. Give it to Jesus. I don't have any money to give. Ooh, okay. Give it to Jesus. What do you have? The skill, the talent, the mental capacity you have. Whatever you have, give it to Jesus and just watch what he'll do. It'll blow you away. Verse 35, and he directed the people to sit on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And he just kept on giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and the disciples kept on giving them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. Did you see what they said back in verse 33? Where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said, well, what do you got? Give me what you have. And all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 5,000 men besides women and children. It wasn't 5,000, was it? That was back in chapter 14. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and John tells us they got it from a little boy. He gave his sack lunch, and Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and now he feeds 4,000 with the women and children from 7 loaves and a few small fish. And sending them away, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magdala. Jesus' response will be greater than your need and better than you expected. Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I want you to turn there and actually see it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 tells us this principle. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. New King James, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. According to the power that is working in you right now, Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Now, what is the power that's working in you? I know that's what you're thinking right now. No, you're not. You're thinking, when's he going to quit? Hang on. I've got something good to tell you. This is going to be worth it. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians and verses 19 and 20. It says, Paul is praying a prayer for his friends, and here's something he prays. He says, I want you to know, Lord, help my friends to know, verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of His, Jesus, God's, the Spirit's power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him, Jesus, from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now, what is the power that's working exceedingly abundantly in you? The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is what's working in you. Now, that means that Jesus is alive in you and you are alive in Him. And the power that touched Jesus when He was graveyard dead in the tomb and animated Him and brought Him back to life, and He got up and walked out of that tomb alive forevermore. That same power is the power that's working in us who believe, in me and in you. Now, that's just a reminder to me that the way to victory is through the resurrection power of Jesus. I can't. He can. How can I possibly have victory over sin? I can't. He can by His power living in me. Man, that's good news. Now, I haven't forgotten where I was going with this. Look at chapter 16, Matthew 16. I'm going to get to the point and close in prayer. Stay with me. Chapter 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came up where He was in Magdala, testing Him. They were trying to trick Him and make Him say something that would get Him in trouble so they could kill Him. And they ask Him to show them a sign from heaven. But He said, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Hey, have you ever heard the saying, red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Isn't that way it goes? Did you realize that was in the Bible? There it is, right there. But anyway, He said, you see the sky, and you know when the weather's going to be bad, and you know when the weather's going to be good based on the clouds. And if you could figure that out, but you can't see that God is at work here, I can't help you. Hey, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And what's the sign of the prophet Jonah? 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and he pops out alive. Jesus, 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, pops out alive. Resurrection power. That's the sign you'll get. And He left them and went away. Well, a little bit later, He and the disciples were alone again. Verse 5. And He says, hey guys, you heard what the scribes and the Pharisees were saying, right? And He said, the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they forgot to take some bread. Uh-oh. And Jesus said to them, guys, did you notice the scribes and Pharisees back there? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I keep saying scribes. Pharisees and Sadducees. They had already done this show us a sign thing one time. And last time it was scribes and the Pharisees. That was in chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. They just tried the same tricks over and over. Jesus caught on every time. Anyway, Jesus said to them, watch out for out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 7, they begin to discuss this among themselves, saying, He said that because we didn't bring any bread. Uh-oh. And He's mad. What are we going to do? And Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, boys. You men of little faith, why are you talking about bread? Have you not seen what's been going on around you? Why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Don't you remember and understand the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000? And how many large baskets you picked up? First time it was 12, second time it was 7. How is it that you don't understand that I didn't speak to you about bread? The bread is my problem, guys, not yours. But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's your problem. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And here's what God said to me as we're driving on Interstate 81, listening to Matthew. You've been called to a new opportunity of faith, and that's going to Northeastern Baptist College. My job is to take care of you. You can't do that. My job is your bread. You got to trust me with that. Your job is don't get caught up with Sadducees, which is modernism, because the Sadducees were the liberals of the day. They didn't believe in angels, spirits, or the resurrection. They were materialists. Don't go there. And the Pharisees were sayers and not doers. In brief, Jesus discussed it in detail in Matthew 23, and I wish we had time to do that one. That's a great chapter. But here's what God, I believe, was saying to me that day. You focus on your beliefs and your behavior, and leave being God up to me. You attend to your assignment, and I'll attend to mine. You do what you can do, and I'll do what I alone can do. And that's care for you. Now, that's the way you deal with worry. That's the way you deal with fret. That's the way you deal with fear, and that's what we sing. You've got a Father, and you trust Him, and He'll take away your fear. Don't ignore your responsibility while trying to do God's for Him. That's the direct path to frustration. But if you'll trust me. Now, folks, as you go out into ministry in the Northeast, let me tell you, you are going to need what I just told you. The only way you'll make it is if you let God do what He can do and you do what He's left you to do, which is to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. You stay true to the Word. You who are called to preach, preach the Word. You are called to teach, teach the Word. You are who are called to be entrepreneurs in business, be faithful. Be a servant leader. Be what the Scripture says to be. And be faithful to your church and support your church. And you give as the Lord leads you to give. You do what you have been called to do. And God will faithfully take care of what He promised He will do. And that's what our school has to do as well. Stay true to the Word. And leave being God and taking care of us up to Him. And He has great plans for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are God and we are not. And we want to leave that in Your hands. And we want to trust You right now. And say, Lord, as best we know how, we're going to stay away from the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees, on the one hand, and we're going to stay away from the doctrine of the Sadducees on the other, and we're going to stay true to your word. And as we do what you've called us to do, you'll do what you promised you would do. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you today.